This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening. Welcome to The Informer. I'm David Gale.
And I'm Paul McClure.
On tonight's edition of The Informer, we speak to our first couple of guests about the landscape for marriage equality going forward. Firstly, Labor MP Terry Butler, followed by Rodney Croom. And finally, we chat with Karen Bryant, Midsummer CEO, about how Midsummer 2017 has gone. Last week on The Informer, we talked with Senator Janet Rice of the Greens about the possibilities when the Senate reports on their marriage equality inquiry, which will be completed on February the 13th. The debate has heated up since then, and things are changing day by day on the issue that the government thought would go away. We asked Warren Entsch of the Liberal Party, an ally to the marriage equality debate, to join us, but he wanted to let things settle in his own party before commenting. Tonight on The Informer, we're joined by Shadow Assistant Minister for Equality, Terry Butler. Welcome back, Terry.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, great to hear your voice. Can you tell us what's been happening in Parliament today?
Oh, yes. Look, it's the first day back after the summer break for Parliament, so it's been pretty busy. There's a lot of things going on here. Question time was an opportunity to raise a range of issues in relation to, for example, the Bourke Street tragedy.
Yeah.
And also, you can imagine the speeches around that were really, really moving and quite upsetting for people. So there was certainly a very strong focus on the serious business of Parliament. There's also been a bit of a sideshow going on with Corey Bernardi quitting the Liberal Party.
Yeah, of course.
Today, yeah, so that was a bit of a distraction from the main issues, I think, unfortunately. But we've also been talking behind the scenes about marriage equality and what might come out of the Senate inquiry that we set up towards the end of last year.
Yeah, well, that's what we were talking with Janet Rice about last week. And, Conservative MPs are scrambling to prevent a push by Liberal MPs to allow a free vote on same-sex marriage. And, you know, Corey Bernardi being one less Liberal in that party room makes a difference in numbers as well. Look, what sort of chatter are you hearing amongst... Because you deal with members from all sides of politics. What sort of chatter are you hearing?
Yes, of course. And look, it's obviously really up to members of the Liberal Party to see whether or not they can bring the Liberal Party into having a free on the floor of the Parliament. We're pretty clear on that. We say the quickest way to marriage equality, the cheapest way to marriage equality, and the least harmful way to marriage equality would be to have a parliamentary vote, make it a free vote, pass marriage equality and get it done. In fact, that's what the Senate inquiry is all about. We want to try to get to the point where we're talking about what the bill will look like and the Marriage Act, not having an argument about whether to have a free vote or not, because we think it's natural at some point that there will be a free vote. I know that people in the Liberal Party are interested in doing that. I've seen the reports, and I'm certainly hopeful that Malcolm Turnbull will come around to the idea of having a free vote. You probably remember that six-hour party room meeting they had back in 2015? Yeah. So after that, Tony Abbott said in his press conference that was going to be the last term that people would be bound to a position on marriage. So we're in the next term of Parliament now.
Yeah.
There's no reason for Liberals not to be saying, well, all right, you know, the then Prime Minister said we wouldn't be bound in this term. We're a party that is ordinarily not bound, and that's true. That's their usual way of operating.
Mm.
Let's go ahead and have a vote.
Now, with the inquiry sort of winding up, and it looks like the upper house will hopefully have enough numbers in order to put a bill forward and then send it down to the lower house, which is the other way around from usual, of course. But do you think that bill will just sit around on the government's... because, you know, they control how business is done in the lower house. Will it just sit around, or is it going to be festering and start to create a little bit of trouble that it has to be brought forward?
Well, I don't think you can put the cart before the horse on this one, because it's still a massive deal to get something through the Senate, even the Senate. because what we're working at the moment, you remember when they tabled their plebiscite legislation?
Yeah.
We said, well, we actually want to see the bill that will amend the Marriage Act, not the plebiscite bill,
yeah,
but the substantive legislation that will change the Act. And at the time, after a bit of kicking and screaming, George Brandis mm-hmm. released an exposure draft of a bill to change the Marriage Act. That was never actually even tabled in the Parliament.
Mm.
So this inquiry is looking at the exposure draft and seeing whether or not there's some way forward to find a set of words, a set of language that everyone can live with so that we can then find a bill that people can vote for.
And then
so that's actually...
It'll actually have to be a multi-party bill.
That's right. I think that's absolutely right. And we've always said that if there's a genuine multi-party bill, and that means a bill is the Liberal who's prepared their name beside it, then that is the way to go forward with this. So hopefully that will happen. I don't want to preempt the outcome of that inquiry. I'm not a senator. I'm not on the Senate inquiry.
Sure.
But I do trust the people who are on that to be doing, in good faith, everything they can to be trying to find common ground.
Sure. Look, your party stance, the Labor Party stance, is well known for marriage equality, but not all Labor senators are in agreement, are they?
There's not... It's a really difficult question, of course, because there hasn't really been a bill for marriage equality any time recently put to the Senate for a vote. But I think that, I think we've made it very clear that a Labor government, if we were elected, would pass marriage equality. But the fact is, if we didn't win the election, we're now in a situation from opposition, we're trying to show some leadership.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we're doing that is overwhelmingly members of Labor's strong for marriage equality. But the best way to get a bill through the Senate is to find a bill that Greens can vote for, that Labor people can vote for, that Liberals can vote for, and that other independents can vote for.
Yeah, look, it's a really complex situation, and, you know, we hope to see things go forward. It's great talking to you once again, Terry. The government has backed themselves into a corner, and they're sliding badly in the polls, so who knows what's going to happen next. We'll wait and see what happens next. Thank you, Terry Butler, Shadow Minister for Equality, for joining us on The Informer.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rodney Croom is an activist for marriage equality based in Tasmania and is well-versed on the goings-on in Canberra and has fought for marriage equality along with other gay rights for many, many years. Able to walk the halls of Parliament and whisper in the ears of politicians from both sides, he joins us on The Informer tonight. Welcome back, Rodney. He's not on the line yet, but he will be in a moment. We're just having a little bit of trouble with the phones tonight. It was... it looks like we have got Rodney on the phone. So, able to walk the halls of Parliament, whisper in the ears of many politicians from both sides, Rodney joins us on The Informer tonight.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Rodney. It's good
Hello.
To hear your voice. Look, with the events that have been transpiring over the last weekend, if you had a crystal ball, where would you expect the issue of marriage equality to be heading?
Well, I think we've seen some very positive signs in the last few days with reports that Liberal backbenchers are keen to move the issue forward. And we've seen reports that Warren Inch has re-engaged with the issue, which is fantastic, and that there may be others, including Senator Dean Smith, and Mawson, keen to raise the issue of a free vote in party run. Now, I've heard a few pessimistic people say, well, this is probably the wrong time, given that Corey Bernardi has walked away from the Liberal Party, a conservative party is the right one.
Yeah, it's going to make it a little bit more difficult for it to happen this week because they're going to be in the party room just going, oh, what are we going to do and all this sort of stuff. So it probably will come up in another party room meeting, I expect, in the future. Is that a right assumption there?
That's right. I think it, as I just mentioned, to those and others, to raise the issue of a free vote in the party room. It's unlikely to be this week, as you say, because Parliament's just returned. But like I was saying, I think it's an excellent opportunity for them to actually stamp the Liberal Party as a true Liberal Party and say, you know, our fundamental individual freedom. We should have individual freedom to vote for marriage equality. On top of that, I think, given that the Liberal Party is slung in the poll, again, this is a perfect chance to reclaim back, reclaim some of the support in the last years, particularly amongst younger voters. I see marriage equality as a real important symbol of open and more inclusive Australia. Certainly, that's the case they're making, along with my colleagues in Canberra, over the next few days.
Yeah. Look, I mean, at the same time, they are a Liberal Party, but it could be that they go the other way and go even further to the right. But, you know, that's to be wait and see what happens. Of course, there is one less person that's from the far right in that Liberal Party as well. Is there much more lobbying to be done by people like yourself and other lobby groups?
Well, there's already a majority of MPs and senators who support marriage equality. So the bulk of our work is done in that regard. There's still a small number of Labor senators, many of them from Catholic backgrounds, who haven't yet declared their support for marriage equality.
Yeah.
And one of the groups that I was supposed to be on, with their support, through and without a Liberal free vote, it's still possible to get a bill to the Senate, which would send a strong message that it's in the lower house.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the issue of giving Liberal supporters of marriage equality the courage, the encouragement, to go into the party room and say it's time for a free vote. And the groups I'm working with, PFLAG, Just Equal and others, setting up web forms in the electorates of... Aimed at voters in the electorates of members, Liberal members who support marriage equality, to get lead flowing into those members saying, look, come on, it's time, it's past time actually, let's get on with this, let's have a free vote, and you're the person to actually move it ahead. So I'm hoping over the next couple of weeks to see quotas received from constituents, for people like Tim, Sarah Henderson in Geelong, supporter of marriage equality, Jason Wood down in Berwick, and others who support this reform but really need to actually start taking action now.
Yeah, look, I mean, I was going to ask, what can we do? And, you know, the advice from Senator Janet Rice last week was to certainly, you know, if you're in a Liberal seat, to write to your local member. I know it seems like a big deal, but you can do it just through a contact, an email contact, usually on their website. And also the fact that there are four senators, for instance, from Victoria. So if we live in Victoria, we can write to four Liberal senators. Anyway, you can write to each of those four Liberal senators. Is there anything else that we can do? Because it sounds like it's just up to them. It's a bit of a waiting game now.
It is really in their court. It's in the court of those Liberals who support marriage equality to get themselves organised enough and motivated enough to get in there and actually get that free vote. The Make It Law campaign, which is auspiced by PFLAG, has a website, justmakeitlaw.com.au, where you can go to, with a click of a button, send an email to all of the Liberals who support marriage equality, urging them to move ahead on a free vote in their party room. And also, like I mentioned before, all of the Labor members, the Labor senators who have yet to support marriage equality, you can send an email to them too. So that you don't have to be in those electorates. You can be anywhere in the country and you can say, OK, it's time to move ahead. Those two groups, those two small groups, are really the key to moving ahead now. The Liberals who support marriage equality, we need to be encouraging them to do more. And the Labor members who don't yet support it, if they can get across the line, we can get this through Parliament. So focusing on those two groups right now is the key, I think, and you can do that through Make It Law.
I think, you know, sometimes as powerless as we might feel, one contact with a Liberal senator or with another member of the government or whatever represents so many people in their minds that they do actually take some notice at times. So what we'll do is, with our podcast, we'll certainly hyperlink with makeitlaw.com.au. The podcast will be out soon after the show. It's fantastic to talk to you again tonight, Rodney. Always great to hear your voice and hear your advice. Sorry about the scratchy lines to our listeners, but... thank you once again for joining us on The Informer.
Thanks for having me on.
Three amazing weeks of midsummer are now over, and it's time to settle down before the Melbourne Queer Festival is upon us. Relax, unless you're heading off to the Mardi Gras in between. But Melbourne's own festival is different, a celebration of our diverse community, with Pride being a centrepiece of the festival. Whether you attended the Pride March or the Carnival Day or one of the over 130 events, I think I went to nearly all of them, no I didn't, we are joined by Karen Bryant, CEO of Midsummer, to give us a wrap-up of 2017 and all that was on offer. Welcome again, Karen.
Hi.
Look, it's good to have you back here on The Informer. Are you exhausted? Are you elated? Are you just completely mad for taking on the task of steering Midsummer?
Look, yes and yes. Yes, there's exhaustion, but we're already really excited and we're already talking about next year, so that's a good sign.
Well, you know, I mean, it was a rocky road to start off with, but, you know, once you get to midsummer, I mean, I believe, and I think many of us around Joy here believe, that it's time to embrace our diversity, get to events, whether it be visual arts, whether it be theatre, whether it be comedy, whether it, whatever performance. What were some of your... are there any figures first?
Yeah, we're still waiting on, obviously, some of the venues to come back with figures in terms of the whole, but we certainly had a lot of feedback that Carnival had more people. Certainly, great. Like, the stalls felt they were busier. People hung around longer. So the area, the stalls area, even after the stalls had shut down, people were enjoying their day and they wanted it to continue. So even if they didn't want to come and dance at Tea Dance, they still stayed. So the numbers of people and the numbers of people staying was greater. It's really hard to count people when you've got no one exit or entry. So, you know, we're estimating that it was a larger audience than the previous year and sort of saying, look, it was probably at least 100,000 people.
Yeah, look, I mean, the weather was great and, you know, we certainly hung around as well. So,
And Pride March, we had 6,000 marches, which was about 1,000 more than the previous year. The City of Port Phillip and police estimate attendances watching, you know, from the sidelines but also balconies at around 45,000 people.
Wow, that's awesome.
It's great.
What were your highlights, Karen?
Look, so many. I was seeing about three shows a day.
Wow.
So for me, the highlights were just about so many different things. So I loved the comedy of Ash Flanders. I went out to Northcote and watched Karen Fields and Little Wise and just thought it was the most exquisite contemporary music event. Loved Auto Buyer Queen. Loved The Bar. You know, actually having a hub for the festival where people were just dropping by before and after and talking. The piano bar with Dolly there on the Monday nights was full every Monday night.
Not a new idea because, I mean, the Comedy Festival has a hub, but Midsummer never has
that's
had
right.
one, so that's great.
And
I've had
that.
Does as well.
Yeah, I've always had a hub in other festivals. So for me, when I came, I kind of went, where is it? Where's that place that people just hang out to extend the experience? So this was just a beginning, but it's something I really want to see expand. I loved I Am My Own Wife, you know, in terms of you've got that the incredible fun and frivolity of Blankety Blanks, but then that seriousness of an amazing story and just an amazing one-person show in that one. So, you know, there were so many things. Dragathon, seeing them achieve their world record attempt.
Yeah, fantastic.
And the special feeling at the 86, that, you know, night and day and night was just...
Probably seeing drags out on the street on Smith Street in the afternoon, because I went down on the Friday afternoon and they're just having a couple of ciggies and something to drink before they go in and do their performance, knowing that it's just going to go for that whole 35 and a half hours.
Look, I wasn't there early on the Sunday morning, but a number of people said to me, or on the Saturday morning as well, that, you know, some performers who were still learning, new to doing drag scene, were planning to do it at times. They didn't think there'd be many people there, but the venue was packed
there
at all days and
at
all hours because it was such an amazing experience.
Yeah, that's a great community-based, well, you know, sort of semi-community-based. It really was fantastic. What are you looking to achieve over the next 49 weeks before it all starts again? Because as you mentioned, you know, the work has already
started. Nobody's counting. Yeah. We're not counting.
Well, I'm not counting yet either. When I came to Melbourne, one of the things that we said, but even before we did this year, was that we wanted to move the festival to start having much more of a a role in the footprint of the cultural life of this community.
Yeah.
So rather than passively just kind of going, you register, we wanted to be out there helping things happen. So this year is a lot about that. You know, we're about to launch a Futures program, which is a mentorship program for young people.
Oh, great.
But we'll also be looking at a range of development projects where we can co-present or invest in work throughout the year so that, you know, I think we probably really stamped our intent with regards to diversity this year through disability, through the Indigenous work that we did. But really that was just about signalling that we want to do that. We want to reach out and make sure that we're providing voices for those who maybe haven't had a voice in the community in Midsummer in the past.
And now it's going to be more of a footprint over the course of the year. Is that what you're sort of saying?
Yeah, that's right. Because it might be that we're helping develop work, so it might be a little bit more less public, but there might be some things where we do workshop showings of shows for smaller grants of audiences, developing audiences for that work.
Fantastic. Now, Midsummer is not quite over. There's still a few bits and pieces hanging around. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there is. There's actually a range of works that continue on. And, you know, obviously if I start mentioning a few, I'm not going to say them all. So if anyone is interested, go to our website, because our front page of our website now profiles everything that's still on. But Convergent Pathologies at the Incinerator Gallery is one, which was one of our premier events. That's still on. Other, which is at the Wyndham Art Gallery at Werribee. That's something that's on through till March. There's actually quite a wide range of things that are still on. There's an exhibition by Alison Bennett who did. She's got a photography exhibition, and she was our co-creator for Horizon in our last weekend. And
yeah,
her
of course.
Work's just amazing.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
Look, it's great talking with you as always, Karen, and thank you for joining us on The Informer. That's Karen Bryant, CEO of Midsummer.
Thank you.
Thanks to our guests today. We had Terry Butler, MP, and Rodney Croom, of course, and Karen Bryant. Today's show was produced by myself, David Gale, with additional production by Paul McClure. And, of course, The Informer will be back tomorrow night at 6:30. We apologise for the phones. We got a couple of emails and messages saying that it is a little bit hard to hear the connection. This is community radio at its best and its worst some days.
Yeah.
If you want to make a difference, please become a member at Joy 94.9. It's not expensive, and you can support the radio station that you listen to, or else you can always make a donation. There's a good way to make one, isn't there, Paul?
There is indeed. At the moment, there's the Joy of Summer running, and you could win a trip for yourself and somebody else to Sydney Mardi Gras Parade on Joy if you make a $5 donation. As many times as you like, every $5 donation puts you in the draw to win a trip for two to Sydney Mardi Gras.
Who knows, a $50 donation may actually just buy some new phones or get the lines fixed up. Up next is World Wide Wave, and tonight they're talking about global attitudes to gay people survey.
Yeah, should be very interesting.
Yeah, we always listen to that as well. I'm David Gale.
And I'm Paul McClure. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.